And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is deep reflection. My first guest is a psychiatrist and a professor at both Harvard and UCLA medical schools. We discussed how seasonal factors affect our psychological lives from his latest book titled The Emotional Calendar. My next guest is an internationally respected authority in economics, finance, and corporate leadership. He also understands politics, having campaigned twice for the Republican nomination for the presidency. We'll discuss the merits of capitalism and how it will save our economy. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Steve Forbes, who was born, I won't even tell you when he was born because I'm a gentleman, he's the editor, publisher, and is a businessman. He's the chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, which includes Forbes Business Magazine. He was a Republican candidate for the U.S. presidential primaries in 1996 and in 2000. He's the son of longtime Forbes publisher Malcolm Forbes and the grandson of that publication's founder, B.C. Forbes. He's a frequent panelist on television programs on Forbes on Fox, which also features members of the Forbes magazine staff, and that's on Saturday mornings on Fox Channel at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Welcome to the show, Steve. How are you doing today?
Good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And you're coming into the area. You're going to be speaking at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library tomorrow, Friday, January 28th at 6:30 in the evening. I found out that tickets for that event have already sold out, Steve, so obviously you're a big draw there. Your topic tomorrow night is going to be being Reaganesque in the 112th Congress. Now, President Ronald Reagan inherited an economy very sad shape, very much similar to what we have here. The 1970s were a decade of lost wealth and malaise. He was able to turn things around with very strong actions and sound fiscal principles. So what would President Obama be wise to learn from President Ronald Reagan's actions?
Well, he would be wise to learn that there's more to Ronald Reagan than rhetoric. A lot of the State of the Union had a lot of Reaganesque rhetoric. Then you look at the substance, it was the same old, much of it, most of it. Reagan, for example, understood the importance of a sound and stable dollar. We've had a lot of money printing by the Federal Reserve. The weak dollar has led to a key part of the weak recovery, punished savers, grossly distorted the economy. We should have learned that from the 1970s. Reagan killed the terrible inflation of the 1970s. Now, it's true, monetary policy is a boring, dry subject. But Reagan understood the importance of it, that the dollar should be as good as gold, and he achieved a great thing there. On the tax side, Reagan cut tax rates, simplified the tax code. When he came into office, the top rate was 70%. When he left office, it was 28%. He cut taxes for everybody. The economy boomed. In terms of regulations, instead of massively increasing regulations, he cut back on regulations. On spending, he increased defense spending, which helped us win the Cold War, but he also put a rein on the domestic spending. So whether it's the taxes, spending, the dollar, regulations, you can learn from the principles of Reagan, and if this president would adopt those principles, you'd see this economy come roaring back just as it did under Ronald Reagan.
Oh, there you go. And Steve, you are the standard bearer for capitalism, and that's the reason I asked you on the show today, is to talk a little bit about that. Over the past 3 years, it's been the most anti-business years in American history. Capitalism is under fire from both the general public and the federal government. Uncertainty is really constraining our small and mid-sized businesses. What should a capitalist do during times like these?
Well, I think the key thing is to get out the truth about free markets, about entrepreneurial capitalism. Capitalism with sensible rules of the road always worked. It's enabled us in history to have the greatest advance in terms of opportunity for people to get ahead, create things, as Lincoln put it, to improve your lot in life. And the disaster that we're trying to dig ourselves out of today did not come from some sudden failure of free markets, but massive government mistakes, starting with the Federal Reserve printing too much money. The Fed hadn't printed so much money, there never could have been a housing bubble. The money wouldn't have been there for it. Fannie and Freddie, $1.5 trillion of junk mortgages it helped create, bring into being. Those were two government creations. So when you go down the list of the villains, yeah, we saw a lot of bad stuff on Wall Street and elsewhere, but if the government had done its part, we never would have had a disaster of this magnitude, nothing like it. Capitalism is about people doing transactions with one another. It's about people having the opportunity to start businesses, not being crushed by taxes or regulations.
All right. We're talking to Steve Forbes, everybody, who is chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. And we're talking about capitalism. And as I said, for the last 3 years, capitalism has really taken a bad rap. Too many people believe that capitalism is based on greed. And that's certainly the public perception right now. And that's what caused the public believes that that's what caused the 2007 to 2009 financial crisis. Why is that wrong thinking?
Well, and greed, it means taking something that doesn't belong to you or too much of what you're entitled to. Capitalism is the exact opposite. Free markets, it means transactions. You may lust for money, but unless you offer a product or service that somebody else wants, you don't get the money. And we do these transactions all day. You go to a restaurant, you want the food, the restaurant would like your money, they give you the food, you give them the money. Each gets something out of it. Greed means stealing, and a lot of things we don't like to do. We don't like to pay the electricity bill. No fun in that. Not as much fun as buying a new pair of shoes, but you do get the juice from it. And people who complain about paying the electricity bill don't hesitate, human nature being what it is, to go out and spend a couple hundred bucks on a pair of blue jeans that look like they came out of a dumpster. the essence, Billy, of a free market is meeting the needs and wants of other people. And if you don't provide something that somebody wants, you don't succeed.
All right, fair enough. We're talking to Steve Forbes, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. Steve, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but one of the quotes that you have, you're on record as saying that I like very much, is when people talk about capitalism and greed in the financial collapse of 2007-2009, that you say that the idea of greed causing this financial crisis is as relevant as saying gravity causes airplane crashes. Would you explain what you mean by that, please?
Well, when the people should look at why with an airplane crash, you always look for, was it the weather, was it mechanical error, pilot error, something else that brought the aircraft down. And in terms of the economy, it wasn't some sudden surge of Wall Street or bankers getting greedy. I don't think they've changed over the years. What changed was the environment. When the Federal Reserve and the government prints too much money, that funnels money into things like housing on an artificial basis, raises the price of oil, raises the price of food. So all the traditional rules of the game get thrown out the window. Wall Street gets big profits, oil companies get big profits, but that's because of the inflation. We saw the same thing in the 1970s, and as soon as Reagan ended the inflation, guess what happened? Oil prices came down, food prices came down. You didn't have these big profits. Free markets were allowed to work again. The government has to do its part.
We're talking to Steve Forbes, everybody, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. And, Steve, during the last couple of years, there has been more regulation passed than in any other period since the Roosevelt administration in the 30s. In what ways is this additional regulation going to strangle the recovery and protract the pain?
Well, regulations are like taxes. They are a burden. And it's one thing to have a regulation saying you don't go 100 miles an hour, especially in the school zone. Quite another for the government telling you what to drive, where to drive, and when to drive. And in terms of the massive regulations today, first in healthcare, businesses don't know what the exact rules are. That creates uncertainty. But the regulations keep coming. Just over Christmas, the Federal Communications Commission, came out with rules that are going to put a real burden on the internet. They did this even though the court said they weren't allowed to do it, even though Congress made clear that they didn't want it done. The FCC went and did it anyway. And agriculture, and you're not going to, the EPA is putting on massive new energy taxes, energy program that the last Congress, even though it's dominated by Democrats, rejected. And then in the paper this morning, Billy, you won't believe this. The EPA is putting in rules that are going to force farmers to treat milk as if it was oil. This is true. It says the EPA has discovered that milk contains, quote, a percentage of animal fat, which is a non-petroleum oil. So now the EPA is going to require farms that if they spill a lot of milk, they're going to have programs for first responders, containment facilities like building dikes to keep the milk from going into the ocean. You can't believe this stuff. And the Ag Department now has a multi-million dollar program, quote, to help farmers and ranchers comply with on-farm oil spill regulations. You know, and now milk is considered an oil. I mean, this kind of nonsense is just nonstop.
Well, Steve, let me ask you the question. What is it going to take to unwind all of this regulation, and how long can you do it? Reagan had the benefit of having a very supportive Congress in 94, 95. So what's it going to take to unravel some of this?
Well, I think clearly the White House, while it has nice rhetoric, the president's order on regulations, even though he's very funny with the salmon regulations, is still full bore ahead. And so what you're going to need is a president who takes it seriously, as Ronald Reagan did. Already now, though, thankfully, the Republican Congress is going to focus on regulation, hold hearings on these seemingly boring areas, bring the public spotlight on it, rake these people over the coals for doing things that they have no authority to do. And I think you're going to see support for legislation to require that before an agency can put in a regulation that has, say, cost more than $50 million or $100 million, it's got to come to an up-and-down vote in Congress. I mean, milk, oil, I mean, give me a break.
We're talking to Steve Forbes, everybody, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. And so, Steve, if you were king for a day, and I'm going to presume you'll be a benevolent king, what would you direct Congress and the president to do first? What would be your line of attack for this?
Well, the first and easiest thing is to tell the Federal Reserve to stop trashing the dollar. You know, the Fed believes that if it prints a lot of money, that creates prosperity. But, Billy, if that was true, Zimbabwe and Argentina would own the world today. If that was true, we should legalize counterfeiting. You know, print up the money. Whoopee. But it doesn't work. And so Bill Clinton understood it. Ronald Reagan understood it. John Kennedy said the dollar should be as good as gold. So you can do that overnight. Stop trashing the dollar. The other things, stop putting out these new regulations in terms of health care. Let's start over again on Obamacare. Get real free enterprise solutions in there. Get real competition with insurance companies. Nobody likes health insurers. They certainly haven't behaved very well in the last few years. So let's have a competition. Allow people to buy health insurance, shop for health insurance nationwide. You know, I live in New Jersey. We've got crazy regulations there in New Jersey. I can buy a health insurance policy virtually identical to the one in New Jersey at half the price in Pennsylvania, neighboring state.
Mm-hmm.
It's legal for me to do so. I can buy a car in Pennsylvania, can't buy the insurance. So positive reforms in health care, real safety nets in health care, such as having high-risk pools and the like for people with pre-existing conditions. We do it in food. You know, the government doesn't own the farms, but we do have food stamps and food banks and other things to help people if they have a tough run and they can't get the basic necessities of life. Why can't we do the same thing in health care? And on the tax side, throw out this garbage tax code. You know, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was 272 words. The Bible, which took centuries to put together, 773,000 words. Billy, the federal income tax code and all of its attendant rules and regulations, almost 10 million words and rising.
Incomprehensible.
Amended 14,000 times since 1986.
Yeah.
Let's throw it out and start over and put in a simple code, single rate, flat tax.
Well, I like the idea of a flat tax, and I actually own your book on the flat tax. For listeners who might not be familiar with that, explain briefly, if you will, please, what does a flat tax entail and why would it be better for our economy?
Well, what a flat tax does is throw out this monster that we have now and start over again. Single rate, my proposal in that book that you kindly mentioned was 17%. You'd have generous exemptions for adults and for children. Family of four, for example, would owe no federal income tax on their first $46,000 of income. Then above that $46,000, you pay only 17 cents on the dollar above that, 17%. There's no tax on your savings. And there's no death taxes. You know, you should be allowed to leave the world unmolested by the IRS. And do the same thing on the business side. Reduce the rate to 17%. The U.S. is now about to have the highest business tax in the developed world.
About to have? I thought we did have the highest business tax in the developed world.
Where Japan was slightly ahead. Mm. Now Japan is cutting their tax. We're just talking about it. We haven't done it yet. So we now, in a few weeks, we'll now have the highest when Japan's tax cut goes into effect. And So reduce to 17, and then on the business side, if you make an investment, you write it off in the year in which you make it. If you have a loss, you carry it forward. And so you could literally do your tax return on a single sheet of paper. And people who worry about what if I lose my deduction for my home or charity or all that kind of stuff, give people a choice. If they want to stay with the old system, they can. If they want to go to the new simple flat tax system, they can. Let people see for themselves which one is better.
Well, it sounds like a prudent suggestion. We're talking to Steve Forbes, everybody, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. Steve, not your latest book, but your second to latest book is titled How Capitalism Will Save Us, Why Free People and Free Markets Are the Best Answer in Today's Economy. What should people take away from reading your book, How Capitalism Will Save Us?
What they should realize is it's about liberty, it's about freedom, creativity, and to have sensible rules of the road. Free markets are not anarchy. You have to have sensible rules, but you don't need suffocating government regulation. You don't need the government mucking up housing markets, the dollar, and everything else. Government plays its role, enforcing rules against fraud, enforcing contracts and the like, simple tax code and the like. Government does its part, and then, by golly, free people will take it forward. Trust the American people. We will do the job if allowed to do so.
Oh, good words, and we're going to leave it there. We've been talking to Steve Forbes, everybody, who is chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. He's also coming out here to Ventura County. He'll be a speaker tomorrow night at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, where he'll be talking about making the 112th Congress more Reagan-esque. Steve, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy.